All right, I look forward to this segment every weekend. It is Mark Simon, sportsinfosolutions.com. Mark is the best around. I love his insight into the game of baseball. Mark, how are you today?
Good morning. Let's try and bring some better luck to the folks playing the baseball today for San Francisco.
Yeah, yesterday Sean Anderson did his job, and boy, you know, we talk about that ballpark, and I looked at the fences, and I don't know, I said to myself, how many home runs could the Giant guys hit if they played all 81 at Oracle Park, not at Oracle Park, at Camden Yards, because Posey knocked one out 359 yesterday, and if you did that at home, he'd probably have a fly ball to right.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, the difference between the two, both in the, I guess, the obstacles that you have to face in the ballparks, the weather conditions, and everything. In fact, there were 100 more home runs, I think it's 99 more home runs hit in Camden Yards last year than in Oracle, and that's not that unusual in a given year. There are different ways that you can do that sabermetrically. One thing that I think people in the stat community like to do is they look at what they call park effects and how much does a ballpark depress home runs by. For example, last year you can determine by looking at a number of things, specifically home runs at home versus home runs in other parks, that Oracle depressed home runs for left-handed hitters last year by about 40%. So if a guy like Brandon Belt had hit 10 at home, that's essentially the equivalent to hitting 14 or 15 in a place like Camden Yards. So maybe it's not as much as you think. You might think that it's like 10 or 12. Those are probably there's probably a lot of doubles in there, doubles, triples, and long singles. But in terms of home runs, that's just one guy. You figure, okay, four or five for Belt, four or five for Longoria. It adds up over the course of the season for all the different players on the roster. And I would say that if the Giants could hit 90 home runs in Oracle, they could probably hit 120, 130 in Baltimore over the course of the season.
Well, that'd be a dramatic difference. That's a dramatic, but it's interesting you said 10 to 14 for Belt, yep. Because we tend to think that if you put him in Philadelphia or Baltimore, he would hit, you know, like 25 more.
Right.
You know, all right, very good. Now, that's why we love having you on, give us that perspective. Today, players, and again, the National League bench is so short. A guy like Tyler Austin, he doesn't really want to play the outfield. He plays first base. He's a good lefty against left-handed pitching. But in defense today, you got to move people around. The Giants move people around. Farhan talks about it all the time. The Orioles, every time you turn around, guys are in different positions. How do they get away with this?
Well, they feel like they have to do it because of essentially the same issue that the Giants have, the lack of talent that they have on the roster. If they were playing a Rule 5 pick shortstop for much of the year, they got rid of Manny Machado, they don't have their stars anymore. They actually shift more than just about any other team on the infield. In fact, left-handed hitters, when a left-handed hitter hits the ball this season, there's like a 90% chance that he's doing it against a defensive shift. And they're okay when they use them. I have at work, we kind of jokingly referred to this season for Baltimore as their science laboratory, because they're doing a lot of things, not just with their infield, but in moving their outfielders too. Without getting too specific, they will not hesitate to take their left fielder and move him 30 feet over into the gap, or their center fielder and move him way in. I think they're trying to educate themselves on certain things in a year where they know they're going to win 60 games and be at the bottom of the AL East. And they do. I'm sure you've seen it in this series. They play a lot of shifts.
Yeah, they do. How do you feel about there's arguments, and we go back and forth out here about it. Sometimes people complain, you know, the shift is on and here comes the ball, the routine ball to short, and the shortstop is playing by second base. And there's shift. Look, 5 years ago, there were 600 shifts, just for example. Now today, yep, there's 30,000 shifts. So obviously it works. How do you feel about the criticism that a player will have when the ball goes through the hole? What goes through your mind?
All right. It doesn't bother me. Okay, so you're talking about it from like a pitcher's perspective?
Yeah, because broadcasters complain about it. People say things, if he only was playing there, that would have been a double play.
They forget. Nobody notes that when the ball is hit in a spot that's a really difficult place to make a play and the guy happens to be there. It cuts both ways, and it cuts the other way a lot more. The failure is emphasized more than success, because in this society we seem to enjoy failure in a lot of ways. So people point out that it doesn't work, but the math will tell you, ask the Dodgers and ask the Astros how effective a defensive shift can be. Ask even like Kershaw would probably tell you this year that the shifts have been great. Hyunjin Ryu, same thing. They're good. It's the same thing if the 49ers regularly played nickel and it worked. That's not doing something crazy. That's playing a different style that is more suited to the way that the opponent plays. That's all you're doing. People don't like in basketball when you foul up three in the final seconds and the one time that it doesn't work. Every one time that it doesn't work, there are like 50 times it does, but the one time that it doesn't work is in the NCAA tournament, so people get upset.
Yeah, and I've been told, just ask the hitters what they think about it. And the hitters, it's funny, it's amazing you said Kershaw, because I watched the game last night, and Kershaw had a runner on third. The left fielder, Taylor, dove for a ball, and it got past him. It was a triple. And this would have been a leading run. There was 1-1, I think, at the time. And Kershaw had Real Muto up, and he threw to Real Muto, and Real Muto was right over the plate. He just hit a rocket that was looking like it was going up the middle. And Kershaw, his reaction was he jumped like, oh, my God, and then turned around, and there was the second baseman. It was amazing.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Those are the ones that need to be emphasized.
Yeah, yeah. He thought it was a hit. His instinct was, that's a hit to center field. There's no doubt in my mind. And he jumped. I'm telling you, if you see that clip, just take a look at it. And the shortstop or second baseman right there, and that was the end of the inning. And then he walked off like he had it all the way.
My dad said to me when we went to a game a year or so ago, he says, I have to completely reset my expectations for any batted ball these days, because things that I grew up believing were base hits are no longer base hits.
We talk a lot about Yastrzemski, and I don't know, Mark, if you've seen him at all, but it's a quick bat. I realize he's 28, 6 years in the minor leagues. There's reasons for that. But I like the way the kid plays. Have you got to see him play at all?
Yesterday I didn't, but I think you have a lot to like so far. I think it's good. It's not surprising to me that someone who's 28 would come up and have a quick start.
Okay.
I think when the league learns him a little bit, that's going to be the real challenge, whether he can handle the major league breaking ball. Seems to be the issue that really gets a lot of new hitters to the major leagues the second time around. So I haven't seen him a lot, but the numbers certainly would tell you, hey, he's no offense, but he's better than Connor Joe.
Okay, that's what I said. Hey, I said that today, too. All right, Mark Simon with us, Sports Info Solutions. The Giants take on the Mets. The Mets last night had a big lead. DeGrom went out after 6 1/3. As Mickey Callaway says, can't these bullpen guys get anybody out? And they ended up losing 6-5 and 11. Giants, Mets coming up. It will be Bumgarner. It will be Beedy and Anderson, Syndergaard, Vargas, Wheeler. What do you think about this series?
All right. So a couple of things to watch. One is the Mets bullpen, because it seems like on any given day, one guy causes trouble for everybody else. 2 days ago, Robert Gesellman was the hero at the end of the game. Yesterday, he was the goat because he gave a game-tying home run to Adam Jones after Jeurys Familia had a good moment and then had a couple of bad moments. Even Edwin Diaz has been touched up. The Dodgers got him earlier in the week, a game that the Mets were up big going into the ninth inning and blew it. The thing you're going to see with Citizen on Tuesday is that you're going to see a pitcher who's lost confidence in his slider, which used to be his second-best pitch. Now it's his changeup, and he doesn't really have a third-best pitch. His fastball is hittable, and he's not necessarily the guy that you might have seen in game in the 2016 one-game playoff. You're going to see Zach Wheeler has been consistently good of late for the Mets, and he right now is their best pitcher. Jason Vargas is anybody's guess. He has struggled. I'll tell you a good matchup on Tuesday night will be Bumgarner against Pete Alonso, who is the impressive rookie for the Mets. Alonso hits seeds. He hits 110-mile-an-hour balls like it's nothing, and it will. But he is a little susceptible to the breaking ball in the dirt, which I can imagine Madison Bumgarner throwing him to see if he will swing at it. And I think if Madison Bumgarner leaves whatever the plate, he will hit it 420 feet.
Wow. All right. This is good. The difference in Syndergaard, that's something to look at. Vargas, yep. You don't know if he'll go one inning or five innings.
Correct.
And Wheeler generally gives you seven, four runs, no walks, eight strikeouts. Wheeler's getting back into what he was last year. Not quite there yet, but it should be good. And then we got the two kids, Beatty and Anderson, against the Mets at home. How do the Mets play at home, by the way? What's their home record? I don't know.
They're better. They're That's better. Safe. They played. They had a good homestand the last time around. They've really struggled on the road this season. I am
15-9 at home. Okay.
Yeah, they've been good, and a lot of that's recent because they swept the Nats four games. They had some nice come from behind efforts. They didn't look as good against the Tigers, but they won two because it's the Tigers, and the Tigers aren't very good. They have found ways to get big hits late in games, which will make for interesting matchups between Tony Watson and whomever, and Reyes Moronta and whomever.
All right, very good. We'll look forward to it. All right, we're going to run. We got a shorter show today, but you saw a great play yesterday about Toni Stone, who is a young lady who played in the Negro Leagues. She was a second baseman. There's a great book out about her. I have a picture of her in my office, and you saw the play yesterday, and I want to talk to you more about it, but you enjoyed it, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's playing in New York at the Roundabout Theater. It was excellent. She grew up in Minnesota, spent her later years in the Bay Area in both San Francisco and Oakland. This tells the story of her, the obstacles that she faced in her path to becoming a professional baseball player. It was a good play.
Yeah, I want to talk to you more about it when we have a little bit more time, and also about Drew Pomerantz and his grandpa. You do amazing research. I don't know where you find this stuff, Mark, but you put it together. But it's a lot of fun having you on. Just before we let you go, Samardzija today and Enoa, any thoughts about this matchup?
High scoring game.
Okay.
A lot of home runs. 10-8. Since I'm always going to pick the Giants, we'll get 10-8 this week.
All right. Were you close last week? I forget.
No. I don't think I was. I think I got that one completely wrong.
All right. 10-8 Giants today. All right. We're writing that down. All right. Hey, thanks so much. We look forward to talking to you every weekend. We really do. Thanks, Mark.
You got it.
All right. That is Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.